Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth, and welcome to a brand new set. You know, if you watch my programs that I did on Christian philosophy, we made those up at our lodge in Woodland Park because I told you we were in the process of designing a brand new set, and behind me you see a portion of it. We're still working on it, but praise God we've at least got this portion finished, and we are now using this brand new set. You know, we started our television ministry 13 years ago this month, and of course you're watching this program later, but the day that I'm recording this is the very month that we started recording television programs 13 years ago. And we started on a shoestring. And I mean, we had an $8,000 budget for our set. And we've been using that for the last 13 years. And it's been just great. But this set not only looks so much better, but there is a depth of field that allows us to... Everything just looks better. Plus, it'll allow me to do interviews. The lighting is set so that we could actually move. At previous set, if I moved more than 1 foot in any direction, we had to have somebody come and change the lighting. So anyway, it's just a great improvement for us, and I appreciate all of the people. We've had some great people here working on this, and they took it as their own ministry to help me reach you. So anyway, we are very excited about all of the things that God has done, and praise God, as time goes on, we'll be getting the rest of the set finished. You'll be seeing a lot of different looks. And I'm just really excited about what God has done here. Today, I'm going to begin a brand new series talking about how to stay positive in a negative world. And you know, this is appropriate anytime, but especially after all of this political stuff that we've been exposed to and each side just tearing the other one up and all of the talk show hosts just presenting worst case scenarios. I tell you, if you haven't been touched by all of the negativism in this world, you just aren't paying attention. That's all I've got to say. I mean, we live in a fallen world, and there is just constant bombarding of all of these negative things. And then you add to that just natural life, where people experience sickness and there's relational problems and just all of the things that go on in a fallen world. I tell you, there is a pressure in this world that just, if you were to allow it, it would just totally defeat you. I've often told people before that life is a terminal experience. You know, most people don't look at it this way, but really, it doesn't matter how young you are, how healthy you are, unless Jesus comes back, we're all headed towards a grave. And if you were to just look at things from that perspective, man, it could defeat you. Here's something that Jesus said. He was talking about the end times, and he made a number of statements about how that wars would increase, people would cry out peace and safety, and yet there wouldn't be any, and there would be earthquakes and all of these terrible things happening. And in verse 10, this is Matthew chapter 24, verse 10, Jesus said, "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." You know, that is an amazing statement right here. This is saying that because of our surroundings, what's going on, not necessarily in you, but what's going on around you, it says the love of many shall wax cold. You know, this word that is used, waxed, right here, is really significant. If you were to go study this word, it really goes back to the way that they used to make candles back in this time. And they would take a wick and they would dip it in hot wax, and then they would lift it up. And I mean, just keep it out for 1 second or something. That wax would instantly cool off and form a little layer on that wick. And then they would just keep doing this over and over. They would do it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. And this is how they made candles. And it would, and that's what this is referring to, that because of just the constant bombarding of all of these negative things and the ungodliness that is going on all around us, it says the love of many waxes cold. In other words, it's a process. It's just like a callus on your hand. It happens layer after layer after layer. And over a period of time, you get to where you just become calloused, hardened towards the love of God because of just the constant bombardment of all of this ungodliness around us. And so I say these things just to say that this is a problem that even Jesus addressed and said that in the end times, people's love is going to wax cold because of iniquity abounding around them. You know, I'm not going to spend a lot of time going into talking about all of the negative stuff around us because we hear this all of the time. What I want to do is use these programs to emphasize how to stay positive amid, among all of these negative things that are going on. But let me just mention that, you know, it is definitely being just crammed down our throat every single negative thing that the world can find. Good news doesn't sell. People capitalize on all of the bad news. And if there isn't any bad news, they will make some up. They will make predictions about all of these things. You know, I've said this before, but I just want to keep pointing this out, that I was in Scotland, and I forget the exact year now. I think this was 2005. If I miss the dates, it's really not important. The point is that I was in Scotland when they had this bird flu or avian flu outbreak over there, and you could drive through the countryside and you could see smoke just going up everywhere where they were piling all of these chickens and poultry, all kinds of different things, putting them together, and they were killing and burning these animals. I was also over there when they had the mad cow disease outbreak, and I mean, you could drive by and see cattle piled up 20 and 30 feet high and just burning them. And I mean, it was just all over the country. And I was there and I heard the leading expert in the British healthcare system interviewed. And they said, is there a danger of this avian flu mutating and getting to where it could affect humans? And what could be the potential effect of that? And this guy said, and I think again, this was in 2005, he says, there is no question that it will happen. It will happen. It's just a matter of how long. But he says, I can guarantee you that within 2 years, 1/3 of the world's population will die from avian flu. That's a pretty dire prediction. And that was in, I think it was October of 2005. But anyway, 2 years exactly, I was back in Scotland. I read in a USA Today paper that there had been a total of 12 deaths worldwide from this avian flu. And so the point that I'm making is that, see, even if it's not reporting on something bad that has happened, they come up with all these dire predictions. They're talking about how terrible all of these things are going to be. It's just the way that the mindset of the unbelievers are. They are constantly focused on everything that can go wrong. You know, in contrast to this, let me just say that recently we had the opening of our Charis Bible College for the 2012-2013 school year. And did you know the first day of our school opening is just, I mean, it is amazing. People are so excited. People are just praising God. Some of them have spent 3, 4, 5 years believing God to get here. This is the fulfillment of effort that they've been putting into it. And I tell you, it's electrifying. When you are in that auditorium, we are praising God, and people are just shouting and praising God. And I mean, there's nothing like it. I had 2 or 3 different people come up and say, there's nothing like opening day of Bible college. And I was standing at the back of this auditorium, and I was thinking about this and thinking about, God, what makes this day different than any other day? I mean, these same people who are so excited right now, give it a couple of months, and after they've had to get up at 6 o'clock every morning to get ready and get their kids ready and get to school, and after they've had to, you know, deal with tuition, and after they are struggling to find a job and all these other things begin to happen, these exact same people come in and they don't display this same enthusiasm. And I was at the back of this auditorium just praying about this and saying, God, what's the difference? And you know what the Lord spoke to me? It was because on the first day they were just anticipating. It was hope is what it is. They were hoping and seeing the positive things. Hope is anticipation about all of the positive things that are going to come. When you think about all of the bad things that are going to happen, that's what you call dread. That's what you call fear. It's the opposite of hope. And hope is a powerful force. And the reason that people were praising God and so excited was because they were only thinking on the positive. things that were going to happen. They were envisioning good things. And because of it, man, it just caused an enthusiasm, an excitement among the people. But then as life sets in on you, it's just like this scripture that Jesus was talking about, that because of all of the iniquity, because of all of these other things around us, it makes your love wax cold. And God is not the one who cuts off the spigot. God is not the one who's different 2 months into the school year than he was on the opening day. God is never the variable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change. What changes is our focus. And when you get to where you all of a sudden get caught into the everyday routine, the mundane things that it takes to just walk through life, and it's like the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus called Peter to walk on the water. And as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to walk on top of that water. But then he took his eyes off of Jesus. He saw the wind and the waves, which had nothing to do with him walking on the water. He couldn't have walked on the water if it had been a perfectly calm day. It didn't have anything to do with it, but what it did, it took his eyes off of the Lord and put his eyes on the supernatural, on the natural. He started relating to things just as a natural person, and he began to sink, and the Lord had to reach out and lift him up. And it's the same thing with us. If we could keep ourselves focused on what God has said, on the promises of God, and all of the good things that God has done, then you could maintain your positiveness in the midst of a negative world. You could maintain your faith in the midst of a situation where the doctor tells you you're going to die. You could maintain your joy and your peace even if a relationship is falling apart. Regardless of what's going on in the world around you, you can stay positive in the midst of a negative world, but I can guarantee you it's not going to happen without effort. It will not happen without you making a deliberate attempt to do it. And I believe that it's absolutely crucial. As we go through this series, some of the things I'm going to be doing, I'm going to be talking about people who did this. We're going to talk about David, about Moses, about Abraham, about just so many biblical examples of people that were in, crisis situations. You can look at the three children, Hebrew children, that were in a very pagan culture. And let me just insert this, that one of the reasons I'm teaching on this is because of all of the political stuff that has gone on in this election year and people just bombarding us with all of these dire predictions and stuff like this. I tell you, we have been just saturated with all of this criticism and negativism. And yet the three Hebrew children, Daniel, were in a governmental system where the king actually built an image and commanded people to worship him. Paul lived in a system where the king promoted himself. Caesar promoted himself as God and accepted worship. I mean, there was injustice being done that makes our situation look wonderful in comparison to those. I'm not got my head in the sand. I admit that we've got a lot of problems and America needs to come back to God. And so I am not whitewashing anything, but I'm saying compared to the government system that Daniel and the Hebrew children operated in, compared to the system that Paul operated in, man, we are blessed, blessed, blessed. And yet these people were able to maintain their faith and be positive. I mean, you can look at Paul in the book of Philippians. And he was in prison. He stayed in prison for 2 years in the land of Judea. Then he was in transit to Rome for about a year. He was shipwrecked. And then he was in prison in Rome for 2 years. So a total of at least 5 years, not including all of the other times. And yet he wrote the book of Philippians from prison. And there is more mention of joy, rejoicing, rejoiced, all of these things. It's mentioned over 17 times in the book of Philippians. And I mean, Paul is just rejoicing and talking about the goodness of God, and he had been imprisoned unjustly, and he was able to still rejoice. And matter of fact, in Philippians chapter 4 is where he gave us a command, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I think one reason he said, again, I say rejoice, is because he thought people are going to say, you can't mean what you're saying. You're in prison. This couldn't mean what it looks like. And so he just said it again. He says, just in case you missed it, again, I'm saying rejoice. We can praise God in all situations. We can be so positive in the midst of this negative world that it's just like water off a duck's back. All of this ungodliness does not have to affect your love, your commitment, your faith, your positiveness. But you are going to have to renew your mind, and you are going to have to begin to look at some things differently. One of the things that I'm going to do at the end of this series, I've got a lot of statistics that many of you are going to not believe are true, but they are, and I will verify them. But we are seeing more people born again today than has ever happened in the history of the world. There is a red-hot revival going on all over the world. And many of you would disagree with that because, again, you are fed this constant diet of unbelief and negativism. Christianity in the United States and much of the Western world is being criticized. We're the only group that it's fair to discriminate against and come against. And there is a spirit of Antichrist that you just see in every direction around you, and the media is promoting that. But I'm telling you that regardless of all of the negativism that you hear, there are more people turned on to the Lord in this world than there have ever been. There are more people that are being healed and set free. I can personally testify to I counted this years ago, and since then it's increased. But I know over 38 people who have either been raised from the dead or who have raised people from the dead. And one of our ministers, Mike Hesh, who we have him on our healing journeys, and he's the one that had this big cancer on his chest, and over an eight-year period of time, it was terrible. But he got hold of the Word, and he's been healed. He's now a student here in our Bible college. He answers the phones back there. And just a couple of weeks ago, he prayed for somebody on our phones that was raised from the dead. We've had this happen a number of times in our phone center. So anyway, I think I could safely say that I know of over 50 people that have either been raised from the dead or who have raised someone from the dead. Did you realize that in all of the Bible, there is only an account of 8 people being raised from the dead? And I can personally account for 50 people that I've seen raised from the dead. I don't know if you understand it or not, but I'm telling you, God is moving. Awesome things are happening, but the average person doesn't have that perspective. The average person has let their zeal, their love wax cold because of the iniquity abounding and the fact that our media today is just promoting it. And it's not only the liberal media. You go into the average church today, and I can guarantee you the way that they would approach this is to start talking about how bad our nation is and how that we're going to the dogs. They would tell you about all of the bad things, and then they'll spend 5 minutes, but there's hope in Jesus. If you spend 45 minutes focused on the negative and 5 minutes focused on the positive, you're going to overall have a negative attitude. We need to start emphasizing the goodness of God and looking at this. And so I'm going to have some statistics. I'm going to be sharing those things. I'm going to share with you from people's lives about how they went through terrible hardship and were able to maintain their faith and their positiveness. And I tell you, a believer is the only person on the face of this earth that really has a right to be optimistic and to be joyful and excited about what's happening. God is alive and well. And God is not sitting on His throne, wringing His hands and wondering how He's going to pull this thing out and whether or not it's going to work. I guarantee you, God is moving in a powerful way. And the more you focus on all of these good things, the more positive you will become. A verse that goes right along with what I've been saying is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, where it says, "The Lord will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon Him because he trusts in Him." If you don't have perfect peace, then it's because your mind isn't stayed upon God. There is no other explanation. I know that there's many of you watching this program says, "Well, now, wait a minute. You don't understand what's happened to me." And you could tell me the report, what the doctor has said about your divorce that you've gone through, about how your children are acting, or you've lost your job, or whatever it is. But if you were to keep your mind stayed upon the Lord, the Bible promises that you would have perfect peace. There is an antidote in the Word of God for whatever you're experiencing. If you're dealing with a physical problem, by the stripes of Jesus, you have been healed. And if you really believe that and were more focused on what God said than what the doctor said, you would have perfect peace. I believe that without any exception. There is a scripture that promises that God will supply all of our need. There's so many examples of how God miraculously, like 26th chapter of the book of Genesis, in a year of famine that would relate to some of the financial hardships that we've seen in the world in the last 3 or 4 years. In a year of famine, Isaac went out at the word of the Lord and sowed seed in a year of famine when everybody else had deserted their fields and had gone to Egypt because that's where the water was, that's where the crops and the abundance was, and they forsook their inheritance. The Lord told Isaac to stay and sow in a year of famine, and he received a 100-fold return in a year of famine. There are scriptures, see, that show you how to prosper, even in hard economic times. There are scriptures that deal with whatever you're dealing with, and there is no justification. There are reasons why people get discouraged and bummed out, but there isn't a justification for it if you're a believer. I guarantee you, we've read the book. I've read the back of the book. We win. God wins. It's all going to work out, and it doesn't matter what the devil does to you. I can guarantee you, if you focus on the Word of God, you can still be positive. You can still have faith. You can maintain your joy regardless of what's going on around you. And so this is a series that I'm beginning today, and we're going to do this for at least 2 or 3 weeks, and we're going to be sharing with you things about how you can stay positive in a negative world. And I promise you, you need this. I don't think most people realize how negative we have become. But it is, I believe, in epidemic proportions. People's lives are being destroyed by all of this. And even some of the voices that I consider to be beneficial, they just go overboard. I'm not going to mention names, but, you know, some of the conservative talk shows, I believe that it's really good and it's important that we have an alternative to our liberal media that is just lying to us and spinning things in a way that is misrepresenting things. So I believe that we need an alternative media. But you know what? I couldn't listen to these talk shows 3 hours a day. If you do that, you are going to be one depressed person. Because I mean they just constantly take every negative thing that is done and they amplify it, and it's frustrating. I will listen to it some, trying to get a different perspective on what's going on. But I tell you what, you got to take those things in small doses. If you just listen to that all of the time, you are going to be one negative person. So I'm going to be sharing with you some things from the Word of God that I believe is going to make a huge, huge difference in your approach towards life. And this really does determine your outcome. The way you think in your heart is the way you're going to be, Proverbs 23:7. And if you think on all of the depressing things, negative things in this world, you're going to be depressed and you're going to be negative. On the other hand, if you think according to the Word of God, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you keep your mind stayed upon the Lord, you will be in perfect peace. And I'm going to give you a lot of testimonies about how that I've seen this come to pass in my life and in the life of others. Let me just mention that we do have some new product on this. I've got DVDs that were recorded live at one of my meetings. I've also got CDs and a DVD that was taken from TV that's entitled How to Stay Positive in a Negative World. And I believe that this is going to be a real blessing to you. So if you'll listen to our announcer, he'll give you some information about how you can get these products. And I encourage you to call or write today and request this teaching. And then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled How to Stay Positive in a Negative World is available on either CD or DVD as seen on TV. Or you can get the DVD recorded live at a Gospel Truth seminar. Each is available for a gift of any amount. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net and click on today's TV offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The first audio teaching in today's series is titled How to Stay Positive in a Negative World, Part 1. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Christian Philosophy for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area this week for a Gospel Truth Seminar November 8th through the 10th, at Calvary Cathedral in Fort Worth on Sunday, November 11th, in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar January 3rd through the 5th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Caris Bible College Men's Advance January 17th through the 19th. He'll also be in Humble and San Antonio, Texas for special one-night-only Gospel Truth rallies January 24th and 26th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
And I noticed that I had a pimple here, and I didn't think anything of it.
The doctor said you need to have surgery right away to have that removed.
And she said, well, I'll look it up, and I'll call you back. So here I'm driving to work, and she calls me back very seriously. She says, Mike, it means that you have
malignant neoplasm cancer.
I was made whole by Jesus Christ, and this is the only direction my body can go. Devil, you can't have me. I've already been bought.
Take a healing journey with Mike and Caroline Hesch. Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left and click on Ministry News. Then click on Today's News Story. Find out what's happening with the world changers at Andrew Womack Ministries and Caris Bible College today. In the heart of the Midwest lies the longest-running Caris Bible College Extension School in the United States. Founded in August 2003, CBC Chicago has focused on one main goal, discipleship. CBC Chicago Director Cindy Quarles.
Discipleship is where the lasting change comes.
It's like an incubator. It's like a greenhouse for people to just come and just grow and be surrounded by people who just raise you to a new level.
You become a family, and in a family, there's safety, and in a family, there's growth.
When I got to Caris after that first year, I saw a clear line between law and grace. And I was like, oh, now I see.
There is a college called Caris Bible College. That's a place where you can get grace of God.
For more information about Caris Bible College Chicago, log on to cbcchicago.org and get ready to change your life.